Okay, we're now joined by the 2025 NASCAR Cup Series Championship Team. Sans the driver, but we got Dr. Eric Warren from Chevrolet, Rick Hendrick from Hendrick Motorsports, Jeff Gordon from Hendrick Motorsports, and Cliff Daniels, the crew chief of the number five. Before I open up the questions, I'd like to start with Mr. H and Jeff, if you would each answer, what's it like winning this on the 30th anniversary of the very first championship with you, Jeff, in 1995?
Well, it's hard to believe it's been 30 years, and we've been talking about this a lot, but it's a great day to have the 24 win the first championship and then the five win today, and 15 is unbelievable, and we're just excited for the company and all the people that work so hard. So never thought we'd win one. I thought I'd go to New York and watch Richard Childress and Dale Earnhardt get a trophy every year, but it feels good to get 15 of those things.
I mean, for me, I can't help but just, you know, when I arrived and Ray Evernham arrived, you know, what Rick was building and what he had put in place, the resources and what he wanted to accomplish was already there. A lot of great people as well. So there were a lot of amazing things that were happening, and for whatever reason, we were just that spark, and that, you know, the stars aligned with the resources and his leadership, and we did something really special, you know, in 1995. And it just, to me, it seems like the organization's never looked back. It's like once you know you can win one, then it's like you feel like you can win it every year. And we did that for a few of them, you know, between Terry and myself, and then, of course, later with Jimmy. It's just unbelievable to me that over the 30 years, it's been 15 of them. So that's pretty good percentages, boss. I know you like the math, so I think you like those odds.
All right. Well, we'll start with questions. Start up here with Jordan.
Jordan Bianchi, The Athletic. This question is for Cliff. Cliff, you've been very upfront of how trying a year this has been. You know, on the track, you guys have had your issues off the track as well. In light of that and everything you had overcome today, was it almost apropos that this is how you guys won the championship?
Yeah, it really was. And I just want to start by saying thank you to Mr. Hendrick and Jeff for their leadership along the way. This has been a very tough season for the five team on a lot of fronts. You know, we had some really strong wins early in the year, had a lot of strength, and then the summer was tough, and we were down sometimes, you know, down and sideways, just never quite down and out. And a lot of our team guys have just been through a lot this year. We've had things going on away from the racetrack where we've had to overcome obstacles, sometimes even, you know, tragedy, and work through a lot of things together, which, you know, to me, there's just a lot of there's a lot of beauty in that, of a team banding together the way that we have this season. And that was really showcased today. I have to acknowledge that it was a pretty ugly day for us. You know, at times we were up front, kind of in the top three, a little bit in the mix. Certainly 11 was better than us. I think we were beat on raw pace today. And after we had the flat tire, there wasn't a lot of good things coming our way at the time. But we knew we would have more shots for pit stops and for restarts and maybe mix it up a bit. And the way that the team stuck together and continued to believe in each other, Kyle continued to believe that if we just had a shot, we could close it out. That was what was put on display today.
And that kind of leads to my second question. This is for Jeff and Rick as well. As you guys fall down a lap, and Denny's got the pace, obviously, and it looks like even the 24 maybe, did you even think that the 5 could come back and be in contention?
No. I mean, you got to be honest, you know, at that point, I really felt like they were out of it. But I was also listening on the radio, and Cliff never, you know, wavered that they were out of it. And I love that about him and his leadership. I think that there was the spark to me was, you know, a couple of cautions that they, kind of helped them stay in the game. Them and the 19 were sort of moving their way up there, but kind of got stuck, and then they made the two tire stop prior to the last one, right? And when they were hanging in the top five, and I heard Cliff going, we're okay here, guys. We're okay here. Now, I don't know exactly what he meant by that, because we're running out of laps, but the car had speed. The car had balance. It wasn't bad. And then, you know, when that last caution came out, and William Byron just, you know, those guys – They had a great year. I just, you know, hate it for them because they've been in this position, you know, last 3 years. So, and that being the caution, my first reaction was, oh no, man, the 24's got a problem. And then I started hearing Cliff on the radio talk about, oh, we're definitely taking two. You know, don't let me put those words in your mouth, Cliff, but to me it sounded like, you know, there was no choice, no doubt. And then it just came down to how many are going to take two and what's the 11 going to do.
Go over here to John.
John Newby, FanBest. Cliff, I was talking to Joey Logano about you guys, and he said that, A, you're a great team, that even when you're down and out, you still find a way to come back and win the championship. And I was curious, you know, what does that mean that even when you guys blow a tire, a fellow champion of the sport just goes, oh, yeah, yeah, that's not a hurdle for them?
Yeah, it's certainly it's an honor to hear that from Joey, a three-time champ and the 2024 champ. And, you know, that's something that I think has been built and bred into the culture of Hendrick Motorsports for many years, long before just what we showcase on the five. That you think back to many magical moments of Hendrick Motorsports that were on the cusp of overcoming an obstacle, overcoming setback. And that's really something that's been put on us this year. Everyone, if you draw your season plans on the whiteboard, you don't include all of the things that happened to us this summer. You don't include the struggle. You don't include all the challenges. But there was no other way. And now that I can see it, you know, fresh, but in the rearview mirror, there was just no other way for us to get toughened up, gritty enough, determined enough, to show that level of perseverance that is what the team really showcased today. It's far more than just me. It's far more than just Kyle. It's all the men on the team and the support system they have at home and the hours and the grind and just the resiliency to be able to show what we showed throughout the season, and then especially to end the race today. So I'm very grateful to be a part of a team and an organization and a group of people that all share that belief.
Go to Jerry, then Wolfgang.
Jerry Jordan, kickingthetires.net. Cliff, so you talked about the two tires, but it worked out. But was it a gamble at the time? And were you, I mean, two times in a row to take two tires, was that a gamble? Because obviously it paid off in your favor. And if it was a gamble, then you need to buy the Mega Megas tickets tonight.
So something that I want to acknowledge, and I think these guys deserve a lot of credit. There's a group of engineers that you know, one's here at the track, and we have some others in the war room and on an intercom with me. Cal Stewart, Brian Ross, Shelton Ware, Nathan Woodby. Kind of a team of guys that were on the intercom with me talking through the day. I'm going to give those guys the first bit of credit that when we were, I can't remember what place we were in at the time, when the first caution came out that we took rights, they pushed me. They're like, man, it's almost a no-brainer to do something different. I wanted to just have a really fast, efficient four-tire stop, gain a couple. You know, we were going to restart probably in the top eight. But that wasn't going to be enough. And those guys are like, hey, man, just think about doing something different here. So I give a lot of credit to those guys because they pushed me in that moment to see what you're asking of man, that's almost the call that we have to make to get ourselves up front and to give ourselves a shot. And then once we got the final caution, we knew it was going to be a green, white, checkered. That decision almost made itself because Kyle, in our code words, he had already called it out to me. That told me he was already going to have confidence and belief that if we did it, he felt he had enough under him to go make it happen. So there was a lot that was powerful in the communication and the way that we went through that to make those calls. They were bold, but they were probably proper for the situation. And then Kyle to have enough belief in it to go drive his butt off and get it done.
Congrats.
Thank you.
Go to Wolfgang and then Kelly.
Wolfgang Munzer from Germany Rennsport Press Agency. First of all, congratulations for all your team. I have two questions for you, Jeff Daniels. coming on a regular base, nevertheless, I learned all the time in the NASCAR business, which are so different to European racing. We saw a lot of tire problems, accidents, whatever you can call it. I was personally a little bit shocked when I saw this. And Denny Hamlin was here earlier and said it's related to the tire pressure. So when teams running on the low tire pressure, do you not think it's a gamble with safety? It can be risky. And I don't understand the logic. Why is this done when it can be dangerous?
Yeah, I understand your point with safety. And first, I have to give Goodyear a lot of credit because we've been trying to improve the product on track of tire wear, tire, you know, degradation, fall off of lap time, to be able to mix up different lanes, have guys that have tires wear out and all that sort of thing. And honestly, what we do as the teams is we try to push every area to extract the grip out of the tires that we have to do. And there's several ways that you can do it with load, with camber, with pressure. And it's one of those things where the performance side of it, there's so much to be gained in what we have to push to get the performance out of them that safety is absolutely a concern. The longevity and ability of your day to stay in the mix is, of course, a concern. What's interesting to me is the run that we had a failed right front tire, we had actually come back up on air, so I wouldn't put us in the category of pushing the limits of air. I was trying to be conservative and still had an issue. But today was a really hot day. There was a lot of punishment of load and pace in the car and in the tires. I certainly don't think in any way that is a miss on Goodyear's part. I think we all kind of knew what we were working with coming today. And it was hot, so it was the perfect condition set to really punish the tires with the tire that they brought with what we had on track, and that's just kind of the way it was. So it's all about teams pushing what we have to do for performance.
Can you simulate before you come to
the race? We can to a point, and there was a wheel force transducer test a handful of weeks ago where Goodyear brought this tire, and of course all the OEMs get a chance to come test. Where you try to learn all you can, but it's difficult to replicate the exact environment of the pace, the load, just the rubber on track, the grip level on track of what it means to have the entire cup field here. And then plus, to your point of can we simulate it, there's a lot of numbers that we crunch of all the things that I'm describing of pace and load and pressure and camber and all those things to try to predict it the best that we can. And when you're living in a world where a tenth or two of a PSI of air pressure can make the difference of a tire having an issue to lose inflation and you have a flat and crash or extract performance for grip, that is a very tough window. And you almost even start getting into the calibration of a gauge to get it that tight of a window. And that is the window that we're living. Yeah.
Kelly.
Kelly Crandall, Racer.com. First for Cliff, and then I have one for Jeff. Cliff, you told us last week at Martinsville you feel like this five team, after everything this year, is as strong or stronger than it's ever been. So do you take this race today and just leave it on repeat in the team room or in your office now?
I would say that we do, but if there's one thing that we've done well this year, it's the growth mindset. You know, you can never settle on what you accomplished yesterday. You can never settle on maybe what got you to a point. More than ever this year, you know, again, in sports and in life, we all have a whiteboard, whether it's in your mind or just when you want to go compete or accomplish something. It's the things that aren't on the whiteboard that are the most important. The things that you don't see coming, the challenges that you have to overcome, that's what teaches you about your beliefs and your character and your resilience. So it were the things that was absolutely not on the whiteboard that made the team this strong this season to be able to come here and overcome what was a pretty dismal day for a while. So there's going to be a lot of power in that message moving forward for sure, which is your point. But something that was kind of on my mind through the summer and through the playoffs is just continuing the growth mindset. What can we do to improve ourselves, our process, who we are? I told the team I want to be champions in life and racing in that order. And if we do the life part right and take care of our families and each other and the team, hopefully the racing part takes care of itself. And so that mindset isn't going to change. We're going to celebrate tonight. We're going to, enjoy all the things that come from this. But if we're going to do it again next year or the year after, it's probably going to be really daggone hard, and it's going to be the things that aren't on our whiteboard that are going to make the difference. So I don't want to miss what those things are, and I want to make sure that we have a team that's built to see those things, to feed on those things, and to be better because of it.
Jeff, earlier this week, Larson said about chasing a second championship that that means he's also chasing you and Tony Stewart, two drivers that he looked up to. That have multiple championships. So for you to see him now have multiple titles, and he's also, of course, in your organization, I guess just thoughts or emotions around that and what he said about trying to chase you and your titles.
Well, I have the utmost respect for his abilities behind the wheel and couldn't be more proud of the effort that Rick, you know, put into to bringing him to Hendrick Motorsports. I've known Kyle for many, many years, watching him race sprint cars, and I always knew that, you know, if you could put him behind the wheel of a Hendrick Motorsports car, he'd do special things. And I also believe that you know, records and championships, they're made to be broken. As long as he's on our team, I want him to win 10. You know, like he and I have a good relationship because I think being from California, close, you know, to one another, you know, Elk Grove and Vallejo and the sprint car stuff and you know, we've built a good friendship and so, you know, you motivate people in different ways. He motivates himself in measuring and looking at what's the next goal, the trophy, the championship. So I use it for him too. I'm like, buddy, you got three to go. You're only at one. You got to get to two before you can get to three and then before you can get to four. So, we have a standing joke about, come on, come and get it. And I hope he gets it and plenty more after that.
Holly.
Thank you. This is for Jeff and for Rick. Holly Kane with the NASCAR Wire Service. When you saw how Kyle emerged after that final pit stop and that he was ahead of Denny, did you say, we got this? Did you know, you know, knowing Kyle and knowing how he is, did you guys feel a certain, we got this?
I'm curious about this answer.
Okay. Things were happening so fast. I just thought the race was over. And then I didn't even know when Roger came to see me, Roger Penske, I didn't know the 12 car won, because I was watching the 5 car and how they were running. But it was, you know, I know when there's a restart and you get Kyle in position, he's going to be tough, because he will put the car in places that other people maybe won't, and he's got the talent to drive the car on the edge. So it was, I almost jumped off the box. I mean, I was ready to call Joe and say congratulations and see Denny, and then all of a sudden, here we are. We're going to win this thing, and I think I had one lap to think that. So, right, right, Jeff?
Yeah. I mean, you know, I wanted to see how the lineup went. You know, he was happy with two tires prior to that, so felt pretty confident there. There was a nice gap between he and the 11. But you saw what Corey Heim did in the truck series. You know, I mean, he was leading in the first turn almost. And Denny was so good on short runs. So, you know, for him with four tires against, you know, the two tires being in the inside lane, being able to have all that room, I really thought he was going to go up there and wrap the apron and be right there. Maybe not the lead, but be right there. And then on the launch, I didn't think Larson got a great launch. You know, there was a bit of a gap between the 48 in front of him, and I was like, oh, no. And then when he went, and I thought he was going to go to the middle in 1 and 2, and he went to the outside, and he and the 48 got, you know, were really tight. So I was watching the 5, you know, and him get around the outside. Wasn't even really paying attention to 11 until he came off at 2, and I said, okay, he's still navigating some traffic. I've seen it since then. I realized that, you know, the 22 was down there putting a pretty good corner together, and that kind of stalled out Denny until the next lap where he dove in there, knowing he was kind of running out of time, and then he bobbled in. It wasn't until then that I felt like, we got it. But at the same time, with Kyle Larson, he you know, even though they're screaming his ear, you got it, you got it, you don't need to do. I'm like, I think he still wants to win this thing, you know, and he's pounding the rear bumper of the six and Keselowski down the back straightaway. So I do know, you know, when we got the middle of three and four that he had it, but it wasn't until then.
We'll go to Bob.
Bob Pockers, Fox Sports. Following on that, up on that, Jeff, what is it about Kyle Larson that if you put him on two tires and he's in that mix, that he can get the job done?
Well, I mean, his experience in all kinds of racing, you know, whether it's sprint car racing and you know, making aggressive moves that work. This year, you know, Cliff talked about the team has been through a lot. Kyle's been through a lot, right? You think about the double and the month of May and the 600, and it's the first time I saw his confidence get brought down, you know, a notch. And I think it was a humbling experience. But through all that, I never saw him stop being his aggressive style, you know, having his aggressive style. And so to me, when Kyle Larson has a shot at a checkered flag or a championship, he's going to give 110%, and you know that. Now, you might scuff the wall, or you know what? Who knows what might come from it? But he's come through the other end of it in a good place, in his experience, either victories or success doing it, that he brings that every time.
And for Rick, Kyle has two. How many more do you see in his future?
I think I think Kyle won a lot of championships. It's so hard. I look at Denny and how good Denny's run, and he hadn't got one. These things are really hard under these rules to win a championship. You win all the races, you win a ton of races, you get here, have a flat tire, things can happen. It's a lot of these things are kind of out of your control. But I like the old system. I like locking it down, you know, race before you go to the finals. But sleep a lot better. It's a lot more fun. But now it's just hard. You've got to be here. And I mean, Denny had tremendous speed today, and it just didn't work out. But I think Kyle can win. I think Kyle can. I think Williams going to win a lot, and I think Chase is coming. I mean, he is really coming on, and Alex was a really good car here today. So I think we're bringing four really good cars to the track, and if we're there every week running in the top five, going to win races, and we're much better at Phoenix than we have been in the past. So I'm glad we're not coming here for the championship next year, though.
Yeah, that's all I was going to add is, you know, we knew today was going to be a big challenge, but we were already getting excited about Homestead next year.
We want Homestead.
All right, we'll go in the back. Noah?
Noah Reed, Kenny Wallace Media. Jeff, you had the opportunity to race Kyle back when he was coming.
Kenny Wallace has his own media company? I thought those were just TikToks.
But yeah, you got to race Kyle when he came into the sport, and now to see him as a two-time champion, I'm curious, you know, you praised him a lot early in his career. How have you seen him grow both on and off the track?
Oh gosh, I mean, yeah, just since he's been with us, you know, the maturity level. I mean, obviously he has, you know, three kids, and so as a father, you know, that certainly forces you to mature quickly. And not saying that he wasn't mature, but you know, he when I first met him, he just kind of had one singular focus and goal. It's just be aggressive, win races, and be a dirt racer on top of being a stock car racer. You know, he never wanted to give that up. And I think what I've seen now is how he embraces his teammates, you know, the whole organization, Chevrolet, and what they're doing. You know, like he's just seen the bigger picture and his role in it and how important the other people around him are to that that effort. And so I just see, you know, I just he engages in our meetings. Like I guess I thought when he came, it was great race car drivers can be pretty selfish. Don't say anything, Rick.
I know. I'm going to tell him you said that.
But they can be really selfish. And so, you know, I kind of had this impression of him of coming in and being pretty selfish, but you're coming into a four-car organization. And he has surprised me. He's been anything but that. He brings stuff out of the other drivers in the meeting. He's giving everything that's on his plate or on his mind in the meetings. And it's that brings out that same thing in others around him, and it elevates the whole organization. That's what Rick has built as a foundation of, you're only as good as the information you have, and the information sharing, and the collaborations, and he's really embraced that, and that makes me excited about our future, not just with Kyle, but the whole organization.
Go to Dominic up here. Raise your hand, Dominic.
Dominic Otto going with the Racing Experts. One for Cliff and then one for Mr. H. So, Cliff, first off, what is it about you? I guess what makes you a good motivator, a good coach? You're able to get the most out of your guys and your driver.
Yeah, it's, it starts with having great people around you. And I know that may at face value seem like a little bit of a cliche answer. But, there's always things that I look for to find inspiration. And there's so much inspiration just in walking or driving onto our campus at Hendrick Motorsports. We're surrounded by great people. We have the best boss in the world and great leadership around us. But we have a lot of really good teammates, people that we get to work with every day. I'm inspired by my family, who they were here just a little while ago. I'm not sure where they went. But, all those things to appreciate the world around us, the team that we have, the organization that we have. There's just a lot in that. And one of the books that we read as a team this summer was called Acres of Diamonds. You don't need to go elsewhere to find diamonds. You can find diamonds in your own dirt. And that's what we do really well at Hendrick Motorsports. That's what we do really well on the 5 team. And that's not going to stop anytime soon.
And for you, Mr. H, how did your Sunday look as far as trying to balance the two pit boxes or the four pit boxes and trying to help but also trying to stay out of the way?
I stayed out of the way, and I went to the 48 box. And I told our guys, I said, and I've been through this before with Jeff and Jimmy, and I've been through it with Terry Labonte and Jeff, and I was worried about them. They're racing each other for the championship. And so I said, look, I'm going to the guy to finish the second first. I want you to know it. And then I'll go celebrate with you, because I didn't want the crew seeing me going down celebrating and they just lost. So I did that today. I stayed on the 48 box until the end. And that's kind of a neutral zone. And because I want them, it's kind of like having multiple children and you want them, they're playing against each other. But no, it's important to our organization to show that we're impartial. We want to give them everything we have. And Cliff has had his guys, his crew, read 3 books. I mean, I don't know how many crews in the garage area are reading books, but we use a Maxwell reader every day in every conference call in the automotive group and in motorsports and all the meetings. And so Chad Knaus and Jeff Andrews and those guys and Jeff Gordon, Cliff, it's a well organized group that really want to work together. And we're very fortunate to have this guy sitting beside us over here with GM that's doing data, and his people are working hard to support us. So they do we're very fortunate to have the kind of effort we have from Chevrolet. And we get a new car next year. So Jeff's told me not to get excited yet, but I think I think when you get to any company, it's all about people. And I think they rub off on each other. And to me, to see all the pit crews come over and congratulate each other, and the drivers and the crew chiefs. And I call Blaney after Martinsville, because I thought he was a class act for coming to Victory Lane. And so he showed up again today. And I told him, I said, you're a big man to end up getting knocked out at Martinsville, and look, he won today, and he still came to Victory Lane today to celebrate, not to celebrate, but to congratulate us. So it's respect among people, and Cliff's an awesome leader, Jeff and Chad, and we're in the people business. I don't care what kind of business you're in. And if you can get everybody to pull together and believe we're stronger together, it's hard to break that down.
We'll go to Kelly for a question for Cliff.
Yeah, Cliff, one more thing. You sat in here after the 2021 championship and talked about how you didn't sleep at all that year, and especially not the Saturday night before the championship race because of obviously what the team had done and having a driver like Larson. So I'm just curious, has your sleep habits improved over the last couple of years, and how was last night?
They've improved the last couple of years. Last night, it was hard to get some sleep last night. We had a lot on our mind, and all the things you think about trying to be prepared. But I've had a few years to work on my sleep habits. So hopefully, I guess by Wednesday, I'll pick those back up.
So obviously the champ is here. Before we let him up and let you guys go, we're hoping to do something a little special. We have a bunch of beer here. If you want one, please raise your hand. We'd like to do a special toast for our friend John Edwards. Obviously.
Yeah.
John was a very special person to many in this room and obviously everyone on the stage.
John wrote on the car today. Did you see that?
I did see that.
Had John on the car today. That was cool.
And I do want to just say thank you for everybody in this room. You know, John was special to all of us, and you guys had a special relationship with him. I just want to thank all of you for the support. You guys came to Charlotte when we had the service for him, and that meant the world to all of us at Hendrick Motorsports because John meant the world to us, and we miss him dearly. I believe he was riding in that car with our boy Larson over here today, so thank you.
Does everyone have it? All right, so... Jenna took the words out of my mouth. He'd be very unhappy. This is not an IPA. A 9%, 9.8% IPA that would get you drunk off smelling it. But we love John. Congratulations to the 5 team. To John, we love you. We miss you.
We got an Airbus.